Hello and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so nice to see all of your faces today. People from everywhere, it looks like, and some new faces, which is really lovely to see. I like seeing the people come week after week, and it's always fun to see new people. So thank you for being here with us today. We are recording our podcast, Peace On. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance at peacealliance.org. And we're welcoming you today to our Hope Story Circle. And my name is Terry Mason. I am on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined by Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead, and also Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is also a board member. And our special guest today is Liz. Liz has had an extraordinary time recently, and we thought that that story was well worth sharing. So good morning, Liz. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Terry. I'm excited and a little nervous.
You know, it's all right. You're in good company.
Friendly crowd.
You're in a safe space, trust me. So I'm going to let you tell your story in just a bit. But before we do that, I also just wanted to mention to everyone about what Better looks like. I'm going to put the link in the chat, but that's a company you started several years ago. It's part of your story, but do you want to mention just a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, What Better Looks Like is a nonprofit that was started. You'll hear the story when I tell my story. It's a nonprofit that was started by my husband and myself and a small group of friends. And it really is designed to help people imagine and create beloved community on a model that was designed by Martin Luther King.
Wonderful. Well, yeah. As you say, you're going to tell more about it in your story. Yeah. It's great. And meanwhile, if we could get started, Yelena, would you like to lead us in a short meditation?
Yes, Terry. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Just inviting you to find a way to settle into a posture that allows you to invite relaxation in the body and stillness to the mind. And perhaps letting your eyes close or lowering your gaze, and gently and softly arriving into this moment. Taking a few full intentional breaths that feel comforting. And if breath is not an accessible anchor of attention to you at this moment, just allowing your attention to anchor to sounds or body sensations, or just simply feeling the contact your body is making with the surface you're sitting on, or feeling the soles of your feet on the floor. And as your body relaxes into this moment, offering the mind to rest in stillness, imagine yourself just going inside to that special inner place of deep peacefulness. This is your special inner place, a place you can come to for rest, a place of refuge. And just take some time to notice what is there today. What do you see, hear, even smell in this inner peaceful place? Just allow yourself to sense the qualities of this place that is supporting you and nourishing you. When you are ready, allow the image to appear of you engaging in practicing peace. And welcome the image as it forms in your awareness and allow it to become clear. Take some time to observe. It may look like you, or maybe a symbolic representation. What does it look like? How does the image of you engaging in peace practice seem to feel? What are the qualities that this image embodies? And what is about that image that conveys a sense of peace to you? When you are ready, imagine yourself becoming that image. Notice what is it like to embody that image. Notice your posture, and especially notice the feeling that is arising. And if this image can speak, what would it say to you?
Hello?
Gently, when you're ready, allowing an image to dissipate, returning to waking consciousness, your breath, the soles of the feet on the ground, and finding a way to gently move your body, perhaps wiggling the toes or fingers. And when you're ready, rejoining the group and welcoming our wonderful Liz and her story.
Oh, thank you for that, Yelena. So the story that I want to tell, my hope story circle for today, is not just my story, but it's the story of Liz and Rob. Rob is my beautiful partner, husband, person that I have gotten to walk through life with for the last 32 years. And I'm going to take you on a journey that starts 26 years ago and fast forwards to this week. When I met my husband, I was a middle school teacher and he was a filmmaker and a stand-up comedian. And we met through friends and we had this really kind of lovely, beautiful, fun time together. And what, in 1994, when I was teaching my middle school class, I said something I had said to every class before and since. And I said, you guys are the future. It's up to you to make the world a better place. But this particular year, a young girl raised her hand and said, Mrs. Graydon, adults always say that, but what would better look like? And I said, what do you mean? She said, this is how the world is. If you want me to make it better, what would that look like? And so it was really that type of question where you know your life has forever reoriented around an idea. And I had it in my head that this was going to be my life's work. I was going to answer that question, right? What better looks like? And I pictured it as a book. I was going to write a book. But the only obstacle that I saw at that point was having enough time to write a project like that. People think that teachers have a lot of spare time. And I suppose that could be true if you're not a very good teacher. But good teachers don't have a lot of spare time. So I was trying to think about how I would get the time to write. And at the time, my husband and I had a beautiful friend, Maria, and she was a dancer and a screenwriter and a stand-up comedian. And she was the most disciplined person I know, and she got so much done. And another thing about her was she did not drive. So she lived in our town, and Rob and Maria would book gigs together all the time so that they could travel together and he would drive. So this particular February, I had a week off for spring break, winter recess. And I said, you know what? I'm going to travel with you guys. They had booked a week on the road together. And I said, Maria, I'm going to pick your brain. I really want to figure out kind of how do you get so much done? How do you be so productive? And she said, great. So we were on the road together for a week, and she gave me really great advice about organizing my time and getting stuff done. And then came this kind of next life-changing moment. A week after we came in from the road, this beautiful friend of mine took her life. And she mailed me her suicide note. And in the note was a check for the amount of money that I made in a year teaching. And she said to me, Liz, I know you won't agree with this choice. It was to both of us, Liz and Rob. I know you won't agree with this choice that I made with my life, but I want to honor your dream and your vision, and I want you to figure out what better looks like. Consider this my gift to you. I want you to create your vision, and I want you to consider me your silent partner. And so that really weighed heavily on both of us, and we had some choices to make. And I went into my principal, and I loved teaching. It was my favorite thing to do. But I went into my principal, I said, I have to honor this vision, and I have to figure out what better looks like. So I left teaching that year, and Rob and I, along with a small group of friends, created this organization, What Better Looks Like. And we started with four basic ideas. My great inspiration was Martin Luther King. So the first idea is that we're here to create beloved community. The second idea came from something I learned late in life because I did not grow up around nature. Those of you who grew up around nature, yay for you. It's the idea that wherever nature creates a poison, the antidote grows within reach. And I thought that was such an interesting idea. And what I knew was that was what was wrong with a lot of kind of organizations or people who did work. The idea is whoever is experiencing the problem are the ones who have to have the say in creating the solution. Right? And that was not always true when organizations would come in and work with people. The third idea came from my husband, who said he felt everyone came to the planet to be a healer, an artist, or a teacher, or some combination of the three. And the last idea was, you know, ideas are okay, but none of this works unless we build beloved community into our infrastructures, right? So what we try to do is foster the creation of infrastructures that support beloved community. So we did that work together for about 10 years. And in the meantime, his film work was taking off and we had two kids. And so he had stepped away from that work and was doing more on film, and I was doing What Better Looks Like workshops and programs. And then in 2005, our work came back together in an interesting way. I had just started working with Peace Alliance. And as we were planning upcoming events, 2006 was the fifth anniversary of 9/11. I live in New York, right? And so that was kind of a really huge moment. But what I realized, because I do all this work with the Peace Alliance, was that the fifth anniversary of 9/11 coincided with 100 years, exactly to the day, of Gandhi's first nonviolent action. September 11th, 1906 was when Gandhi made his first public nonviolent act of civil disobedience. And my husband thought that was a really interesting idea. So he decided to make a small film, a short film, called 100 Years of Nonviolence. And through Dot Maver, who many of you know, she made a connection with a gentleman named Arun Gandhi, who is Mohandas Gandhi's grandson. So my husband went up to interview him, and it was a lovely interview. But as he was leaving Gandhi's home, which is in Rochester, New York, he saw on the wall a painting, or what he perceived to be a part of a painting. And Rob asked him about it, and he said, oh, there's this artist. And he had his vision for how to create world peace. And he painted this giant mural painting, and he cut it up in pieces, and he sent them to different world leaders around the world. And his vision is that one day the paintings will come together, and that's when we'll have world peace. And my husband thought this was this fabulous concept. But he was really busy with other projects and kind of let it go. And just as a side, I want to tell you kind of what kept him busy. For 15 years, my husband has done this beautiful work with an organization called No Strings. And what they do, it was co-founded by the people who started Sesame Street and the Muppets. And what they do is they make these beautiful films for children around the world who have been victims of man-made or natural disasters. For example, the first one he made was, it was puppets teaching little kids in Afghanistan the signs of looking for landmines. How do you avoid landmines? Done through puppets. And another one, which is the one that really I always love, touches my heart. He directed all of these films with No Strings. And one of them was in the wake of Haiti, the earthquake in Haiti. They made this beautiful film about this little girl puppet who had lost her parents in the earthquake, but she was taken in by a family where she was suffering abuse. And so this magic genie puppet comes and gives her this ring that teaches her the words to say to find trusted adults. So they're really the kind of this beautiful work. And he was doing that and I was doing What Better Looks Like. And then in 2016, we hit another turning point, which I think a lot of us kind of hit. 2 days after the election in 2016, it was a Thursday, and one of the things I do to help foster beloved community is I throw a weekly tea party in Bryant Park. I've done it for 7 years, except for this year, and I have my grandmother's teacups, and we put down tablecloths, and we serve tea, and everybody's welcome. And I was sitting there the Thursday after the election in 2016. And I got a text from Rob. And he said, Liz, Paul is going to be at our house in 2 hours with a Peruvian elder. Now I have to backtrack for just a few seconds. Paul is one of my closest, dearest friends from university. And he's this beautiful spiritual person, and he travels the world and he knows everyone. And he had been playing music at this meeting upstate of different Native elders. And he was charged with bringing one of them to the airport. And I live pretty close to Kennedy Airport. And he wanted me to meet him. So I said, okay, I'm gonna rush home. And I packed up all my cups and I ran and I got home. And there was this lovely gentleman here. And my son plays the guitar, and Paul had a mandolin, and this beautiful man did this lovely dance in my living room. And I said, this could be a lovely night, or this could be the thing that changed my life in this moment. Because at the time, coincidentally, if you believe in coincidences, I was reading a book by a woman named Jean Shinoda Bolen. I don't know if you know her, But she writes in that place of myth, and especially for women, right? Those myths about awakening women and kind of goddess energy. And the book I was reading was called Crossing to Avalon. And it was the story of her pilgrimage around the holy sacred sites of France and England and Scotland. And she was talking about the different myths, and she talked about some of the Arthurian myths. And one of the things she mentioned was that the hero, if the hero is supposed to have his mission, has to ask the right question. So I was sitting there in the room with this beautiful man, and I said to him, "Can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "What is it that you know that I have forgotten that I need to remember right now if I'm going to do the work that I came to the planet to do?" And he said, "Oh." And he said, "Bring me paper and pencil." And he said, "What's your full name and date of birth?" And he asked for Rob's full name and date of birth. And he sat there kind of drawing these geometric figures for about 20 minutes. And then we talked for 5 hours. But I can tell you just in a few sentences kind of the important points that he left me with. The first thing he said to me was, "You know, you can continue your mediocre life." He said, "But you know that it is time for you to step into your big mission." And I said to him, "I'm afraid of a big mission." And he said, "Why are you afraid of a big mission?" And I said, "Because when I was a little girl, everyone who had a big mission got shot." And he said, "Oh." And he said to me, "You have made a lovely life for your children, but you are not here for your children. You are here for the world's children, like Mother Teresa of Calcutta." And he said, "And the work you came to do, you came to do together." And so that kind of, Rob and I kind of let that wash over us. And in the next few days, as we were kind of thinking about what's the work that's going to bring us back together, we both thought about that film that we hadn't thought about in, 10 years. And he said, "I think that's what I'm supposed to work on." I said, "And it's about world peace. And I know that there's a place in me for that somewhere." So he said, "I wonder if Arun would remember me." So he contacted Arun Gandhi and asked him if he could come up to talk to him about the painting. So we packed our kids in the car and we went up. And he said, "You know what? I don't really remember. I don't even remember the artist's name." He said, he talked about the meaning and what it meant to him and why he was holding it for his grandfather. But as we examined the painting, we found the artist's name scribbled in pencil on the side, and his name was Franz Trink. So when we got home, we looked him up and we found the artist Franz Trink. He lived in Vienna. And Rob contacted him, and it took some translating, and and he said, "I want to make a film about your painting. I want to tell the story of the painting." And as I looked on the website, and in his website, there are pictures of him with the different people he gave the pieces of the painting to. And I think because I was a history teacher, it struck me right away. I went, "Oh, Rob, he gave the pieces to historical enemies." When I looked at the pictures of him handing the pieces out, he gave one to the Archbishop of Canterbury and one to the Pope. He gave one to Yasser Arafat and he gave one to a rabbi in Jerusalem. He gave one to the Dalai Lama and he intended to give one to the president of China, but because the Dalai Lama had accepted it, he would not accept it. So I don't know who has that piece. He gave one to the White House and one to the Kremlin. And so Rob said, "This is amazing. I have to make this film." So by now it was early 2017 and we had written up kind of international contracts and gotten everything set. And then the artist had a stroke and his family contacted us and said, his daughter contacted us and said, "You know, Rob, my dad is going to recover. I know he's going to recover. And he really asked that you not work on the project. Just put it on hold till he's well enough to participate. And so we did. And that brought us to early 2018. And in April of 2018, the artist had recuperated enough and he flew to New York and we spent a whole day filming with him. And he talked about his vision for world peace and what he thought, you know, if you could get all these people who have been historical enemies, if you could get them to be in the same place at the same time, we could do things to create peace. And at that point, Rob had committed, to finishing one other puppet film, which was going to take him till the end of 2018. And then we said, okay, then full time, this is the project we're going to work on. And at the end of 2018, during a regular checkup, my husband got like a funny blood result. And the doctor said to him, for reasons we can't explain, you're going into kidney failure. And by spring of 2019, he was on dialysis, and really the best hope for him was to find a donor. And so he's been on dialysis for, you know, the better part of a year and a half. And as some of you know who have been on the calls, in July of this year, I was given a diagnosis of a malignant breast tumor that had spread to the lymph area. And so the two of us sat down and said, you know what? We both have these things that are really scary and potentially life-threatening, but they're also at this point in time really treatable. And so he said, we kind of made this jump right away to there's this personal healing we had to do, but there's also this systemic, right? The kidneys are how we filter the systems. The lymph is how we process systems. And we went right away to this place of there's this connection between healing self and healing systems. And so now I want to fast forward you very quickly to this week because a couple of things happened in quick succession. Thursday, I was in my chemo treatment, last Thursday. And the nurse who worked with me said, everything's fine, your blood work's all good, your red blood cells are just a little low. And so I said, well, what can I do about that? And this is what my oncology nurse said. She said, you can visualize your red blood cells multiplying in a good proportion to the white blood cells. And I said, okay. And then she told me a story I'll tell quickly, that when she was pregnant with twin sons, they had very low fluid, amniotic fluid, and she was told they wouldn't survive. So she spent 4 weeks meditating on bringing fluid to her kids. She said, I pictured leaky faucets and running water and teardrops and everything. And when she went for her sonogram 4 weeks later, her babies were swimming in amniotic fluid. So I thought that was really exciting. I thought that was an interesting idea. And then this Sunday night, my husband, who's really been having a rough time with the dialysis, said, Liz, if I don't get a kidney by Christmas, I'm giving up. I said, what? I said, you don't get to give up. He said, I can't do it anymore. He said, my body is so tired. And I had told him the story of the nurse. I said, you have to give me 4 weeks. He said, Liz, you don't know. I said, when you are sitting in that chair, I want you to meditate on healing. He said, Liz, I sit there and just try not to cramp until they give me oxygen. I said, Rob, 4 weeks. I want you to meditate, go in tomorrow and tell me, gratitude for the machine, gratitude for the nurses. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I was getting ready to go to my oncology appointment. And my husband ran out of the bedroom with like one pant leg on and the phone to his ear. And he said, oh my God, Liz, we have to leave the house right now. They have a kidney for me. And my husband got his kidney surgery Tuesday night. And the other part that I'm going to wrap up is after he interviewed the artist, he had enough footage. What he wanted to do was create a trailer for the movie that we could use to fundraise. And this week, there's an annual Long Island Film Expo, which I'm here. And Rob had submitted the trailer for the trailer portion of the film expo. And Tuesday, he got his kidney. And Thursday, the trailer that he submitted for the pieces won Best Trailer. And our son got to accept the award on his behalf. Yeah. And so to take this full circle with my hope story circle, I think one of the things that came up for us was in this moment, the more closely we realize kind of how connected we all are and how we can connect in love, but with this awareness that there's this greater work for us to do in the world, there are these kind of miracles that align that don't necessarily make sense. And that's all I can wrap up because I haven't processed the rest of it yet. But we want to send you kind of into the rooms. Yelena, did you want to frame the inquiry?
Yeah, I think we can do it together, Liz. Okay. I think one of the things that really struck me when, you know, I have heard this story, I mean, points of the story until the whole story was relieved, you know, kind of. is still going, but you know, and every time I'm deeply touched, and you know, and yesterday what really deeply touched me, and it kind of, you know, I wanted to really infuse it in our meditation, you know, just before we started, is this sense of what are those? Are we those images of peace that are scattered, and what is that collective thing that will bring us together and, you know, to create that peace? So, yeah. So one of the things that we talked about yesterday as an inquiry is this sense of what is, let me find it to phrase it. What peace are you holding that you know is a key to the larger picture of creating peace? Yeah, anything to add to that, Liz? So what?
No, I think that's beautiful. Yeah, thank you for putting that together, Yelena. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so what peace are you holding that you know is the key to the larger picture of creating peace? So as we go into a breakout room, just for those of you that are new, I think Terry will just briefly explain what that means and how we run that.
Right. So we will go into a breakout rooms, and then we'll be in breakout rooms for about 15 minutes and then come back and share whatever is alive. So I'm going to pause the recording now. All right. Well, welcome back, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you all.
So if anyone would like to share whatever is alive for you right now, feel free to unmute yourself and share or raise your hand. I'll try to spot you. And you need to unmute yourself. I'm not able to do that for you. Who would like to share? Dan, you can unmute yourself.
Okay, hi everybody.
Hi.
I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and hi everybody. Really warm greetings. Liz, I so appreciated your sharing. I was really touched, and I was glad to be here for that. That gave me an opportunity I really was not anticipating to look at, especially the knowing part, like what do you know is your peace? It really sort of in some ways challenged or prompted me to dig, to just identify something as a knowing. Yeah, I really enjoyed the opportunity to find that, to find something that called to me, and I'm going to sit with it. I already see it changing my attitude in some ways, having looked at it and discovered this piece, this thing that is true for me, and what, you know, what does it mean? So this has been powerful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Dee, I saw your hand.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Liz. I feel like I knew pieces of your story, but there were pieces I didn't know. And pieces seems to be the theme today. But I'm real appreciative of the rest of that that picture. I started out in one breakout room. Sorry, first breakout room, guys. I disappeared on another one. We talked a lot about, I guess a theme for in our breakout room was about painting and artistry. And then active listening was another theme that came up, the idea of listening being enough, often instead of fixing. I love the metaphor about us all being pieces of the same painting, and that when we come together, the full picture will reveal. I guess I'm a big metaphor thinker, so that really works for me. So I'm just really, I'm grateful. I've got some definite nuggets to think on from this meeting, so thank you.
Wonderful. Kent has raised his hand, and then David. Kent, would you like to unmute yourself?
Yes. Hi, Liz. Great story. Have you decided who your musician is going to be for your film with Rob?
I think he is working with some, yeah, but if you have any connection you want to make, we're all about connecting the pieces, so.
I was thinking about Gary Malkin.
Okay.
He's an Emmy Award-winning musician, and he runs a website called Wisdom of the World.
Wisdom of the World, let me write that down, thank you.
But he and Michael Stillwater put together a set of CDs and story called Graceful Passages years ago about death and dying.
Okay, thank you.
The other one is, I mentioned in the breakout room, is you want to possibly connect with Nipun Mehta, NIPUNMEHTA. He runs an organization called servicespace.org, and they're internationally connected.
Beautiful.
But then you also have Mark Sims, which is really up your alley, who put on their Harmonic Convergence 2020.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, great networking.
And the final thing on that one would be tying into a program like that's on tonight called Saturday Night Alive. And you can find that through Love Coach Academy on Facebook with Scott Katamas.
Thank you so much, Kent.
Okay, and that'll tie into Unify and some of the other organizations that you and Rob may need for part of your fundraising and stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kent. You're David? Welcome. David, do you want to unmute yourself?
Yeah. I was tremendously moved by Liz's story, just about in tears. It was quite a few years ago when it was on Martin Luther King's birthday when I had to ask myself, was I willing to be assassinated for working for peace? And I said, yes. And in our breakout room, I was with a storyteller, and I've written mostly nonfiction, and I am a writer. And I'm ready to stick my neck out and write some fiction and adopt a character who is my avatar for the courageous peace builder and just see where that goes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, David.
That's wonderful. We have time for one more share if anyone would like to share what's coming up for them.
Unfortunately, I didn't have time to look this up, but there's a similar but different storyline to the pieces of paper. Wasn't a pieces of paper, though, that was done by a Muslim gentleman who was using it to reach the Arabic public, having to do with creating an equivalent to like Marvel Comics, only from their direction. And so each one of the super characters received from this thing that had gotten broken up, each one received a skill. And then it took thousands of years in a river, but it was a matter of if they could all come together, they could help the world to come to world peace and everything. And he was trying to make the kind of like the equivalent of our Disneyland, only for the Arab community. And it was a fantastic series of comic books. And actually, Marvel started to work with him for a while. Oh, and I do have the information. I just don't have it off the top of my head, but I will try to get that to you, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie. All right. Well, we're going to start to bring this to a close. I'm just sharing a few links in the chat. The Peace Alliance, our mission is to empower civic action for a culture of peace. I have put the website there. Also the link to our podcast, Peace On, which this recording will be a part of. And our donation link, and also our link to our Blueprint for Peace. It's an action that you can take if you haven't already, a wonderful advocacy action that will immediately in one click reach out to all of your elected officials, both state and federal. I'm also putting the link to register for the monthly call on Tuesday. It's our national monthly call, and Dan, who spoke earlier, is our host. Dan, do you want to unmute and share what Tuesday's going to be about real quick?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thanks, Terry. So as probably everybody is aware, we're coming up on a national election here in the United States, you may have heard. So Tuesday's call is focused on ways to get out the vote, ways to empower and strengthen our democracy through robust participation and voting. So we'll be sharing resources and activities, and we want to know what are your favorite tools and stories that have helped you to get other people to the polls, that have helped get you to the polls. Maybe you're involved right now in making phone calls or writing postcards. We want to hear from you, and we want you to hear from each other about what's really working to help get out the vote for this November to make it as healthy a democracy as we can make it. So please join us on Tuesday night.
Thanks, Dan. All right, Liz, do you want to wrap it up here with us, for us?
Yeah, thank you. Just by way of closing, one of the things that came up on our planning meeting last night was in the course of the last year especially, I've noticed all these kind of signs and synchronicities that have been happening in my life. And it's really easy to dismiss them. But the more I talk to people and share some of my stories, I think we all have what would probably be called mystical experiences, right? We have these mystical experiences that we sometimes dismiss. And I think the more we kind of lean into them and share and allow it to open, what it feels like for me right now in my life, and I don't know if other people are feeling it, is it feels as if the veil between worlds is very thin right now. You know, it feels like there's this ability for us to connect with one another and feel one another and feel presence. And I'm sure there are ways we can engage it, and I'm sure we can maybe talk about this on other calls as it comes up. But I'm just at this point of gratitude, and I think when we lean in with love and gratitude, it just awakens these things that we can notice that can align. And what I intend to spend the next week and the next part of my life is just how do we awaken that more and more? How do we connect more and more with spirit, with love, and to just kind of make that more visible in the world. So I'm really grateful to you guys for hearing my story. I'm grateful for however it lands on you. And I'm thankful for however you move out into the world because you heard the story. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you so much, Liz and Yelena.
Thank you.
Feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye, everybody.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.